Siman Tesvav discusses two halachas which are extremely important, extremely central to the practical side of Dinei Torah. They both revolve around the concept of umdana. Umdana comes from the word omed, estimation, evaluation. We know that, you know, from Shulchan Gemara, from the Torah, the gold standard of proof in Beis Din, of course, is two edim. Bishnayim edim yakum davar, two adult male witnesses of unblemished character, that's two edim. Gemara has lots of cases of edim. In the real world, though, in real cases, you don't always have the luxury of two edim. What you have is what we call circumstantial evidence. You have compelling, different levels of compelling proof, short of actual testimony of two witnesses. The question is, what does that mean in halacha? What do we do with that in a din Torah? So the halacha is surprisingly unclear and contradictory, but two of the key sugyas, two of the key halachas are in Er Siman. The first one is Siv Gimel and Siv Dalad of Din Meruma, the idea that a dayan sometimes by following the laws, the formal rules of evidence, Reuven would win, the plaintiff or the defendant, but the dayan has an instinct, an intuition that Shimon is right. What are you supposed to do? That halacha is discussed by the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, and Siv Gimel and Siv Dalad. Siv Hei discusses also the question of umdana, as the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch put it, Yesh l'dayin l'adam d'vinei mamonos l'pi ha'davar sh'day to know t'lehem. Shem Emes. Sometimes the dayan can paskin, has to paskin based on what he thinks is true, in spite of it not being the conclusion according to the formal rules of evidence. The Rambam goes on and says that ideally gives a few examples based on Gemara, so we'll discuss that a little bit more soon. The Rambam concludes, though, that that's ideally what the dayan should do. However, the Rambam says we don't actually do this. The problem is we no longer have dayanim who are so upright, or hagunim who are skilled or competent or upright, and B, balibina, they don't have the necessary bina. Hiskimu, that we don't follow this anymore. We don't take the same liberties with following our intuition. But in principle, at least in Medina de Gemara, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin that you can sometimes paskin based on umdana. So I want to discuss tonight and further Monday the general sugya of umdana, the various gemaras and the various yesodos of the sugya in halacha. Tonight we'll focus more on the gemara and the key sugyas. Wednesday maybe we'll turn to some more of the practical questions. So there are several different gemaras and shas that deal with umdana. What exactly the conclusion is, how they all fit together, what the conclusion is far from clear. Let's first read several of the Rambams, and then we'll see what the relevant gemaras are. So one Rambam appears in Hilchos Sanhedrin in Perek Chaf. The Rambam paskins, and this is actually he elaborates further in Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam paskins ain based in onshin ba'omdin adas. When it comes to criminal justice, corporal punishment, Beis Din does not impose onesh. Onesh has, again, the precise meaning of basically criminal punishment, which mean either malchus or misa. LLP Aidim Baraya Brewer, you have to have the gold standard, two witnesses. Even if you have strong circumstantial evidence, he gives an example, you saw somebody chasing somebody with a knife, and you told him, don't do it, don't kill him. You saw them, they passed out of your sight for a moment, they went into a room, one of them came out with a bloody knife, the other one came out, the other one was dead. It's pretty clear what happened. Nope, you need two edim, and you can't get a criminal conviction based on even that level of circumstantial evidence. Rambam brings a drasha, Naki v'tzadik al tarik. He's innocent until proven guilty. Proven means two edim, and he's off the hook. This drasha is not a gemara. The gemara darshins other things from Naki v'tzadik al tarik. This is a medrash, a mechilta. Rambam elaborates further in Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs loza se resh tadi, that the Rambam says there are two things included in the pasuk of Naki v'tzadik al tarik. One of them is shelo lachtok hagdarim ba'omen hadas, not the passing based on umdana. And he goes on, all the examples he gives are basically all criminal justice, that we don't kill people, we don't impose criminal penalties based on circumstantial evidence. Gives the same example of the guy chasing somebody with a knife, coming out dead. And again, he says that the Makar is the pasuk of Naki v'tzadik al tarik. This is Mitzvahs Lo Sa'aseh number 290, according to the Rambam. Now, the basic case of the knife and the guy chasing with a knife is a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara is going on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when it comes to Din Nefashos, when it comes to criminal cases, specifically capital cases, The Gemara says, Ketan Ma'amin HaSeidim, what are the standards that we impose for capital cases? One of the things is that we tell the witnesses, make sure that you have actual eyesight, make sure that your testimony is based on what you actually saw, not based on what you think happened, not based on what you think is likely to have happened. We tell them, Shema Me'amin Hadas, maybe you didn't actually see it, maybe you're only telling us this based on your best guess as to what happened, and meaning it. If so, that's not good enough. We tell them we require specifically eyewitness testimony, literal actual eyewitness testimony. On that, the Gemara said, Ketum Me'amin Me'amed, what would that mean? It brings the story of Shimon ben Shattuck. It says he once, this kind of quintessential example, he saw him chasing him into a desolate area, he came out dead. Shimon ben Shattuck himself was once involved in such a story. He says he once saw someone chase somebody in, saw him come out, the knife, the guy dying. So Shimon ben Shattuck says, I told him, Russia, mi harga lazeh, o ani o ata, was either me or you, and it wasn't me who killed him. So we're the only ones around. Ma'aseh she'ein dam kamasher biyadi. Tosis points out there might be another problem here. He's only one witness. Tosis, no, there were actually two witnesses here. Shimon ben Shattuck had a friend with him. There were two witnesses. But nevertheless, they didn't actually see. They couldn't kill him. In this case, the story had a, I don't know, happy or unhappy ending. Shortly afterward, a snake came and killed the murderer. But Alpidin, he couldn't do anything. So that's one example of Umdana. The Rambam says that for criminal cases, the whole Mishnah is in the context of a capital crime. Murder, and the Rambam in Perek Chof and Sanhedrin and the Sefer HaMitzvahs says clearly this is something you can't do in the context of criminal justice. The implication is that you could for a civil case, but just not for capital cases. The Ramban was the first one to pick up on this. Right away, the Ramban had a number of questions on the Rambam. The Ramban denies this is a mitzvah at all. He says these are asmachtas. These are not real drushes. The drushes are what the Bavli brings. Other drushes. These are not. And one of the Ramban's many arguments is that this din of Umdana had nothing to do with Naki Vitzadik Al Tarek. Naki Vitzadik Al Tarek is a special protection for the rights of a defendant in a capital case. This din of Umdana, the Ramban says, you don't do even for a civil case. Even for civil cases, you don't rely on Umdana. It has nothing to do with Naki Vitzadik Al Tarek. Nothing to do with capital cases. The Ramban's raya to this is another Gemara, which actually appears in the same Sugya in Sanhedrin. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara brings a second major Gemara about Umdana. The Gemara brings Machlokas, Rav Acha, and Rabbanim. This is a case of classic circumstantial evidence. There was a case where a camel, was Ocher Ben Agmalim. Different shot from exactly what Ocher means, Alevav Ches Reish. It was thrashing around, it was mating, it was fighting, whatever it was doing, it was a hyperactive camel. And a nearby animal, was found injured or dead. So it looks like probably, and he's the one who seems to have been doing the mischief here, so probably it was him. We don't know for sure. It's not absolutely muchach, but it looks like that's what happened. If I have to bet, I'd probably bet that this was the culprit. So what do? Can you hold the owner of the hyperactive camel liable or not? So the Gemara says, it's machlokas tanan. Rav Acha says yes, and the Rabbanan say no. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Rabbanan, that we do not kill, that we do not impose even a civil penalty based on Umdana. The Rambam has a famous language brought by the Shulchan Aruch later in Choshen Mishpat, Hilchos Nizakin, for Nizakin, and for any other civil case in Choshen Mishpat, we never follow Umdana. We don't follow Umdana. We have to have Shnayim Edim. The fact that we conjecture, we think, it probably was, that's not good enough. You have to have two Edim. This is what the Gemara of the Ramban brings. The Ramban says, why does the Rambam say there's a special protection from Anaki Vitzadik Al Tarek for a capital case? For a capital case that you don't kill based on Umdana, you don't do anything based on Umdana. Even civil cases are not passed based on Umdana. You need to aid them. That's the Ramban's kasha.
Is that Kalmchomer? Is that so Mukhrach? The Ramban's even civil cases? Like Raif, for example.
Yeah, so there is such a thing. There is the idea that in certain cases, the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin does seem to have at least one angle that civil cases, because the Mukhsuk might even have a higher standard than capital cases. The capital cases, you do follow Rav Acharav Lahatas. When it comes to Mamun Einochel Mamun Achar Rov, so yes, there is such a Shaila. Unfortunately, we're not going to get into that tonight, but there is such a possibility. But this Gemara Gufa that talks about Rav Acha, this Gemara indicates that Mamun would be a Kal V'chomer. The Gemara says that the fact that this Mishnah singles out that we don't do Omed for Dinei Nefashos implies that for Dinei Mamunos we would. The Gemara says, act like Rav Acha. Rav Acha holds like that. Rav Acha holds that you follow Umdana for Mamunos, and the Mishnah is telling you, but Rav Acha would agree for Nefashos. Then the Gemara says, no, really, you don't follow umdin at all, like the Rabbanan. So why does the Mishnah single out for nefashos? The Gemara says, in a chanami, it's the same standard all over. But for nefashos, it's very important we get it right, so we make an extra point of stressing it to the witnesses. But really, the same standard applies to both, that we don't follow umdina for mamonis or nefashos. So we pass like the Rabbanan. So Mael, the Ramban's question is, neither mamon nor nefashos do we follow umdina, even though I guess you could say, like Rav Winter was saying, you might be able to construct some kind of position that mamonis you don't, but you might think nefashos you do, and you need a special drasha that you don't. Maybe you can learn like that, but maybe that's what the Rambam held. Al kol pan, the Ramban says it's not a special din of nefashos, it's a general din that basically never acts based on umdina. And what's the pshat of the Rambam? So some say that in Echanami, the Rambam didn't mean it's a special halacha nefashos. The Rambam meant it's a separate isser, it's a separate azhara, kind of like the Gemara says, a separate tzivu of the Torah to make extra sure you don't act milsa da asi b'kal v'chomer tarach v'kasav l'kra. And the Torah make sure you don't do this for nefashos, but the standard is the same standard. There are, however, shitas that you do follow umdina, both the mamonos and nefashos, at least if it's a good enough umdina, that the, first of all, this Gemara of Shem and Shetach itself, that we just mentioned, the shita of the Ramban and the Megillas Esther, that the same standard applies to both, there are Achronim who learn that an umdina of the style of Shem and Shetach, you would follow for mamonos, even though you don't follow it for nefashos, even though we pass in Nalak Ravacha, that the umdina of Gamal Ha'ocher, you don't follow for mamon or nefashos. There are shitas, the Avnei Nezer, the Achiezer, they say that the Rambam very much is mashma, that there's a special din of Naki V'tzadik al Tarek not to follow umdina for nefashos, implying that mamonos you do. And even though we say mamonos you don't, by Gamal Ocher Benek Malam, there are different levels of umdina. A middle level umdina, like Gamal Ha'ocher, which is not all that compelling, Ravacha says you do, the Rabbanan say you don't, then we pass it like the Rabbanan. The umdina of the guy with the knife, which is an overwhelmingly compelling umdina, it's beyond a reasonable doubt, whatever the proper standard is. Such an umdina, you didn't physically see it, but the evidence is so strong and so compelling that you do follow for mamonos, just not for nefashos. So the poskim, the Avnezer, the Achiezer, other poskim, they're discussing modern day shilos of erva, of ishus, different questions, if you didn't see the actual handing over of the ring, different types of questions in other areas of halacha and Avnezer, elsewhere. Where also we want to know, there might be a standard of higher than mamonos. You need real edus. The question is, but is there a level of umdina which is strong enough to qualify as edus? So some poskim say yes. Some poskim say that the level of gamal al kerbanik malam will work certainly for mamonos, maybe not for nefashos, but at least for mamonos, maybe for Ebenezer also. That's a separate sugya.
Do they make another chilek also? Like I'm the impression that the direction we're going here is like they'll sometimes take one witness. So he's clearly saying what happened, just you don't have, that's a little bit different than two people saying, well, we think it might happen. We have one person saying it definitely happened, the Torah says it's not good enough, but we maybe will accept it because, at least in his view, it definitely happened. That's not the same, do people make that kind of chilek or no? I know that nowadays there is some...
We'll discuss that a little bit, I'm not sure we're going to cover that exact case. Additionally, besides this case of these Rambams in Perachof and Sanhedrin and Sefer Mitzvahs, we have one other Rambam, which is the Rambam that's brought by the Shulchan Aruch in our Siman, the end of our Siman. The Rambam says, Mikra Din, today we don't do it, the Rambam says, Mikra Din, the Dayan can Paskin, based on what he thinks actually happened. The Makar for that is a series of Gemaras in Ksuvas. The Gemara gives several examples of, one example is that the heirs, somebody's heirs have property, and somebody claims it's really his, and it was a Bikadon, it's not really their property. So the Gemara says, one of the things we do is we establish, are they Amid? Was that family Amid? Were they rich enough? Do they have enough assets for this to really be theirs? Or is it more likely it was really a Pekadon? We make a decision based on our guess as to what likely happened here. Umdana. So the Rambam says, that's an example of Umdana. That's an example of Umdana that we follow. So again, the post can ask, you know, again, here we say we do follow Umdana. Other cases, the Rambam says, we don't follow Umdana. So you know, which one is it? Do we follow Umdana? Don't we follow Umdana? So here again, the Achronim and our Siman have a number of different chalukim, and some of them touch on what Rabbi Sussman was saying, a number of chalukim about when yes, when not. We'll see the Nesivus hopefully this week. The Nesivus has a very interesting chiluk. He says there's a difference between an umdana, something that the Dayan personally knows, and something that is generally known to the whole world. The Dayan personally knows something, but it isn't something which is generally known. That's not a proper umdana. Something which everyone knows, that's a fine umdana. The Nachal Yitzchak Vitzal Chanan has problems. It doesn't really add up, he says. We're not going to get into all the different sugyas now. It doesn't really work, he says, in a lot of sugyas. Whatever the merits of such a chiluk might be, doesn't really add up. Rabbi Yisrael Chanan has a chiluk, which is maybe along the lines of what you were saying, maybe just the opposite. Rabbi Yisrael Chanan says that there are two types of umdanas that we have in halacha. There's an umdana where you know what the facts are directly. Then there's an umdana that you believe somebody else. You have reason to believe someone else is telling the truth, but you don't know the facts directly. In such a case, he says, something Mara talks about various cases where somebody believes, somebody provided based on information. That person was a woman. She was only an echad. She wasn't a kosher aid. And the dayan accepted it, but not entirely. He accepted it to maybe mechayev shvua, to mehapech shvua, but not entirely to paskin the din. There, Rabbi Yisrael Chanan says, because at the end of the day, the dayan, even if he trusts the person implicitly, he knows him, he knows her, he trusts her, but he doesn't know firsthand. So that, the Torah says, you need two edim. He says svaras, maybe because even if he's telling the truth, maybe he's not medayek, maybe he's not sure, maybe he became corrupt since you knew him. But at the end of the day, the way he's magdir the chiluk is, there's a difference between knowledge that you have based on your evaluation of the case itself and knowledge that you have based on you believe someone's trustworthy. The latter case is never as reliable. I guess it's sort of the opposite of what you were saying, though. The latter case is never as reliable as the former case. And this idea we really find in other places in halacha too, the general idea that once you're working with a form of testimony, you can no longer invoke umdana. So for example, there's a din that the Gemara says, if you know someone else is a Rasha, Basin doesn't know, you can't join him as a team of Edom. Post can discuss if you yourself are a Rasha, Basin doesn't know you're a Rasha, you're allowed to come into Basin and be made. And both cases, the first case, the answer is definitely no. The second case, many Akronim say no. And the question again is why? If you know what happened, if you know Reuven Bar Amari from Shimon, good, you're not really a kosher aid. Basin wouldn't listen to you if they knew who you were. They don't know who you are. And the halacha is true. You know what happened. Basin will be passing incorrectly. So the post can say, as far as they say, Basin is not allowed to do it. That the Torah has a requirement of Edim. If you don't have two Edim, even if the story actually happened, Basin shouldn't be acting if they don't have two Edim. This general idea you find in that context too, that if you don't have kosher Edim, even if between you and the lamppost we know what happened, even though we say every Sadi El Shakri, sometimes we find if Basin's going to act based on Edim, the Edim have to be kosher, and we don't just say, well, we know what actually happened. We're out of time. We'll discuss this, I guess, further on Thursday.